What's going on, everyone, and good morning. Today is Wednesday, October 23rd, and this is your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And today we turn the page to the Cincinnati Bengals, a game that the Eagles go into Cincinnati with. Look, people are going to view it as a real test for this team. Beating the Browns and the Giants back-to-back wins, it's an impressive turn for this team, considering how they had been playing for roughly a year. But going into Cincinnati, beating the Bengals, that'd be a really impressive win for this team. So today, the Eagles start to turn the page to the Bengals, which means they are back at the facility. It is Wednesday, so you know what that means. It is the biggest day when it comes to media availability, watching practice, talking to players. Nick Sirianni will speak. So a big day today for the Eagles. So on the schedule for today at 12 o'clock, Nick Sirianni will speak to the media. So make sure you are tuned in to WIP for that. They will be streaming that, I'm sure. Plus, all the interesting quotes and takeaways will be on my Twitter page. It'll be on other Eagles writers too, and you should check them out. But it'll mostly be on my Twitter, if we're being honest. And then I'll have the good sound bites for you on tomorrow's pod. After Sirianni at 12 o'clock, practice begins at 3. A good look to see if Zach Bond is out there. We'll see if Mekhi Becton is out there. So a good look at where the Eagles are at from a health perspective at 3 o'clock. And then 4:35, the locker room opens. You might notice that is not when it's usually been. The Eagles have moved locker room availability to after practice. So we will be getting a little Eagles after dark, I guess, when it comes to the player quotes. We'll get Jalen during that that window. So we'll hear from the quarterback today, the franchise quarterback, I should say. And he's played more and more like a franchise quarterback over these last 2 weeks. So that is what is on the docket for today. Nick Sirianni at 12, practice at 3, and then the locker room along with Jalen Hurts at 4:35. The injury report, we'll get, like I said, a better indication of that today. But the two names to keep an eye on, Mekhi Becton, as he is in the concussion protocol. We will see if he is out of it or how far along he is today. And then Zach Bond with that shoulder injury, we'll see if he's out at practice, if he's a full participant. A shady big loss. He's played really well and they don't have great depth behind him. So going up against a good Cincinnati defense offense that has a good tight end, Zach Bond is a key figure for this team heading into the game. So you'll hope to see him out there, and hopefully he's good to go for Sunday. We do have a bit of news to get into. The Eagles made a roster move. They released wide receiver Paris Campbell from the roster, so they now stand at 52. I thought Paris Campbell did a decent job in the time that he had to go play. Had a few catches against the Saints, if I'm not mistaken. I thought he had a decent training camp when he was practicing. Obviously missed a lot of time. But with Paris Campbell released, the team now has A.J. Devontae, Jahan Dotson, and Johnny Wilson at receiver. And then along with Dallas Goedert injured, they are kind of thin when it comes to pass catchers you can count on. So with the roster at 52, we will see if they promote wide receiver Anaya Smith to the 53-man roster. His practice window is starting to come to a close, so they'll have to make a decision on him. They potentially don't want to put him through waivers where you get to hold on to him, or at least I should say where you expose him to waivers. So we'll see if he gets added to the 53-man roster. I don't think he's ready to play in a game. He did not have a great training camp, and having missed a lot of practice time due to that injury, it surprised me if he's put out there. And especially when it comes to punt returner, I think Cooper DeJean has done a pretty good job over the last 2 weeks when he's been called upon to do it. Now, I do think he takes a lot of hits, and as you're starting nickel, maybe you don't want him back there. He is definitely a fight for extra yardage guy. So we'll see. We'll see if they promote Anaya Smith and make him the punt returner. Obviously some ball security issues there. I saw him muff a few punts in training camp. So with an extra roster spot, also trade deadline coming up, who knows, maybe they're gonna be making a move, but it'll be interesting to see how they fill that final roster spot. So let's get into the news of the day on Tuesday. Outside of the roster move, the Eagles coordinator spoke to the media, and as usual, all three had something somewhat interesting to say. Let's start with Vic Fangio, who was asked about the pass rush, obviously, with all those sacks that they had against the Browns, 8 sacks. I believe they now have like 12 sacks in the last 2 weeks, coming off just 6 sacks in their first 4 games. So an improvement, certainly, in that regard. And Vic Fangio was asked about that, and he gave a special shout out to one of their pass rushers, Nolan Smith. So here's what Vic Fangio had to say with a little something on Bryce Huff in there.
Yeah, I think Nolan in particular has continued to improve as the season's gone on. you know, he's not a big guy as edge players go per se, but he did win on a rush the other day where it was more of a power type rush, which he has to incorporate more into his game, and that was good to see. And in Bryce's case, you know, we had some more passing situations in this past game that allowed him to play some more.
So first, not exactly like a glowing endorsement of Bryce Huff there. Felt like he was kind of like, yeah, we put him in pass rush downs. He certainly wasn't saying he's improving. He's looking better. This is why we signed him. This is why we gave him that money. No, it was basically like, yeah, he's in there on pass rush downs and he's doing okay. But he did talk nicely about Nolan Smith. And I think that it's interesting to look at where Nolan Smith is at in his career, because as a second year player that was a first round pick, you do hope that he would be probably further along than where he is now, even at the end of the first round. A first round pick is supposed to be a somewhat instant impact player. You should really be drafting a starter in the first round, really, no matter where you're at. Obviously, towards the end of the draft, end of the first round, you are being drafted to a better team, so it is harder to break into that starting lineup. But it's not like the Eagles are stacked at pass rusher. So I definitely think you can look at Nolan Smith and say he's not where the Eagles want him to be. He is not an edge rusher that you can count on, I think, at this point, to make a big play in a big moment in some big games that they'll be playing coming up. But that doesn't mean he's a complete zero. And I think when Vic Fangio says that he's improving, I think he means it. Obviously, we know Vic certainly just says how he feels, but also the stats back that up. So in the six games that Nolan Smith has played, he has 8 hurries. He has 2 sacks. He's winning on true pass rush snaps where he is just straight going after the quarterback. He's winning at about 10% of those. To put that in context, Jalen Carter is at 14%. Now, I know Jalen Carter is an interior rusher, not an edge rusher. But still, 10%, not great, but not terrible either. 8 hurries in 6 games, not great, but also one, you know, a little more than 1 a game and a very little bit more, roughly 1 a game. In 2 sacks, if he keeps that production up, he'll end up with just under 6 sacks on the season. I think going into the year, if you told me you got 5.5 sacks from Nolan Smith, that probably would have been viewed as a good outcome. And I also think it's important to note that when it comes to Nolan Smith, he's been pretty good against the run. I think that he's been pretty good at setting the edge. He's had a few nice plays along the sideline when the run has been able to get out and get up the sideline. He's done a good job forcing him out of bounds. He's an excellent hustle player, in my opinion. So I think he's been good against the run. But even as a pass rusher, I think he probably has not gotten enough credit. Again, like, I would trade for an edge rusher. I don't think the pass rush is good enough. But that doesn't mean he's a complete dud. And if you look at Pro Football Focus, they have him ranked as a pass rusher 68th in the league. So 68th, nothing to write home about. That is certainly not like, wow, that's so much better. But if you consider there's 2 starters on 32 teams, that is 64 edge rushers. He is right around a starting edge rusher in the NFL. Not like an instant impact guy, not someone teams are game planning for, not worthy of that first round pick yet. But he is turning himself into an average NFL starter, is probably where he is right about now. And I do think he has improved. Like, I think the last 2 weeks, obviously, along with the whole pass rush, he's been much better. And for the first time in a while, like, I'm really excited to see where Nolan Smith goes. His rookie training camp, I thought he was outstanding. He didn't end up meeting the expectations there. But I did think that he was good in that training camp. And then, obviously, in the season, didn't play basically at all. In the first few games of this year, wasn't really standing out. But he's starting to turn a corner a little bit. So I'm excited to see where Nolan Smith goes these next few games, going up against a Cincinnati offensive line that is better than they have been in the past. All right, Kellen Moore. So Kellen Moore, I thought, had 2 interesting quotes on the day. The first, he was asked about a play that we talked about on the Jalen Hurts review pod, where we kind of talked about what I saw in the rewatch of the game. But there was a play against the Giants where Jalen Hurts had pressure and he just went down. Like, it was the pressure was coming, Fred Johnson got beat, and you saw he just went down. No one touched him, just went down. Kellen Moore was asked about that, and here's what he had to say.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think, you know, obviously it's a combination of, you know, I'm always evaluating the play call and how we can improve that aspect of it. And, you know, the pocket just kind of got a little tight there right at the end. And I think, you know, from a ball security standpoint, he made that decision. And so, you know, he's done an excellent job of protecting the football in those situations. You know, giving ourselves opportunities to still, you know, punt and put ourselves in favorable position. And certainly in other instances in the game, he was able to make plays with his feet as well. And so he's done a really good job of making those decisions when necessary.
So I think his answer kind of speaks to where we are all at when it comes to Jalen Hurts. On one hand, you want to see him be a difference maker and make big plays. And he did make some against the Giants. But so you could look at that play on one hand and go, come on, man, you got to run. There was a lane to run. Like, even if you look at the spy that they had on Jalen, he was blocked. Like, there was a run there to be made. And you can look and go, come on, like, you got to take advantage of that. On the other hand, and I think what this is Kellen Moore is talking about, they want Jalen to be smarter with the football in the pocket. They want Jalen to protect the football. And if he is going to err on the side of ultra conservative, I'm okay with that for the next few weeks. It doesn't mean in the playoffs he can be like that, but just going down when he feels pressure and not trying to be a hero, that's how you win games against bad teams by a lot of points. You don't make turnovers or dumb plays to put them back in the game. So I think it was a weird play to see. You can argue he should be doing more, but I still thought it was in some ways an encouraging play from Jalen. The other quote Kellen Moore had, he was asked about the fact that Devontae Smith ended the day with one catch for minus 2 yards, and here's what he had to say.
Yeah, those are never ideal. You know, Smitty's one of the premier players for us, and you know, sometimes unfortunately goofy things happen like this where he only ends up with the one catch for, you know, minus 2 yards because it was kind of a bubble screen. And you know, obviously we had different visions as we go into the game of getting him involved, and sometimes it just doesn't happen. But, you know, he was in it the whole time, which is a testament to him. Just, you know, his run blocking ability. He made some excellent blocks downfield to spring our running backs on some plays. Sometimes the ball doesn't go his way. We feel very comfortable and confident that, you know, things naturally will, you know, correct itself over the course of the next week or two. And so, you know, he's certainly right there.
So when it comes to Devontae, I mean, it feels like there's just always going to be games where he gets like randomly very little production. I think it was week one against Detroit in 2022. He had no catches at all. And it was a big story because it was AJ's first game. AJ got a lot of attention. And it was, all right, when's Devontae going to get the ball? Devontae's going to get the ball. But my main takeaway from this, because I was also asked about it on the morning show, is it a concern that Devontae is going to be upset with a lack of production? And the Eagles paid a lot of money this offseason to make sure that doesn't become a concern. I'm not saying that just because he has money that he's going to completely ignore like getting the ball. Obviously, Devontae's a competitor. He wants to build a name for himself in the league. He ultimately, I'm sure, wants to build a Hall of Fame career. And that comes from catching the ball and putting up numbers. But for one game, when you're already financially secure and you get along with AJ Brown, I don't think there's an issue there. So this week against Cincinnati, if it's one catch again, yeah, then maybe you start to talk like, why is Devontae not getting involved? But that's different than Devontae being upset he's not involved. And I think that when you pay Saquon, AJ, you pay Jalen, you pay Devontae, you didn't really pay Goddard recently, which is something to look at. But when you pay the main receivers on the team, then yeah, you get a little more leeway when it comes to this type of stuff. If Devontae was in a contract year, and he hadn't signed that extension and he was going into, you know, an offseason where his contract would be a big deal, then you look at it and go, maybe he won't want to resign here. Maybe he doesn't like getting a lot of targets. Maybe, yeah, him and AJ are friends, but of course he's on, you know, you go down that road. But when you already paid him the contract, I think you can get away with a game or two of not a ton of great production. Finally, special teams coordinator Michael Clay talked, and this is some true deep dive Eagles fandom, which I know you all are, but he was asked by Merrill Reese, and then I followed up, about why some games it's Jake Elliott kicking off and some games it's Brandon Mann kicking off. And I thought his answer was honest, and I think it's pretty insightful. So here's kind of the back and forth from Michael Clay with Merrill Reese, which is crazy, and me.
Yeah, you know, they all bring different things. You know, I think Braden does a great job of using power when we have to neutralize returners. And I think Jake can have power, but he also has some finesse game, a little bit more of a different kicks that he can use. Not that Braden can't do it, but I think Jake, you know, obviously being a kicker by trade, has a little bit of that. But again, it's just something we have in our back pocket. If, you know, if we get into those situations where we do like a scenario where we can use Jake and put the ball wherever he wants to put it.
Yeah. So kind of not really much more to say about that. Like, I like it. They have a strategy when it comes to this. If they just want to kind of negate the kickoff returner 1 week, they'll put Brandon Mann out there and just have him punt the ball out, take some pressure off Jake Elliott's leg, doesn't expose him to more kicks, you know, protects him from injury. And then when they want to be more finesse, like if it's a returner, maybe they want the ball in their hands, or maybe it's somewhere where they feel they'll make a dumb decision and, you know, something like that, then they have Jake Elliott. So Brandon Mann sometimes gets overlooked a little, and rightfully so. He's the punter, like who cares? But he's been a nice pickup by them, and he's been a solid punter for him after a few years where it's, was it Sav Rocca? No, that's not right. Who was the, wow, I'm thinking out loud here. Someone tweet me who the punter was on the Super Bowl team, because I can't believe I can't remember his name off the top of my head. But they had a few years there where they were struggling with punters, and Brandon Mann's turned into a good punter, and having some flexibility on the kickoff, I think, is ultimately a good thing. So that'll do it for this part of the pod. We're going to do a little something different for the second half of the pod. I was on with Ike Reese and Spike Eskin on Tuesday, and I thought it was a really good discussion about Jalen, where he's at, what he needs to be, the attitude of the team. He had some interesting quotes from there, quote in there from Brandon Graham about Nick Sirianni. So I want to play that for you guys on the other side. So I will end this where I probably normally should end the pod, but just want to say thank you guys for listening. You know, it means the world to me. You take the time to start your mornings with Go Birds, and I'm a lucky guy to get to record this pod for you guys. So a word from our sponsors, and then on the other side, me, Spike Eskin, and Ike Reese talking about the Eagles.
We bring the boom to you. Grab your phone, Elliot.
So download this one on Spotify.
Put this to get me ready for boxing class.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's the WIP afternoon show.
I like Spike, you guys got Fritz. The dance down.
Yes.
Here we go. Yeah.
There you go. And then you get this one. About a quarter past three. There we go.
Told you guys it's a banger.
It is a banger.
Pretend all you want it's not, but song of the summer.
The Twitter question is sponsored by Mark's Jewelers. Actually, Jack just put up a new one. I have to find my phone so I can see the results. Twitter question sponsored by Mark's Jewelers, the official jeweler of you. If you're looking to get engaged, shop the home team at Mark's Jewelers with rings for every budget online at marks-jewelers.com. The Twitter question, you're going to love this one, Elliot, is, hold on.
Is this about me?
Yeah.
No, I'm sure the results are.
Yeah. Elliot Shore Parks has signed up for boxing classes. Do you think you could beat him in a fight?
Is there votes in at this
yes,
point?
Yes,
right. Oh, yeah, I'm sure there are.
I don't know, 99% yes?
95%.
There we go.
So there are 5% of the people that think
well,
you can.
Well, to be clear, I agree, but that's why I'm taking the classes.
Right.
Right, so we'll it's see at the end of the classes how I'm feeling.
So you've been a big Nick guy, maybe the biggest Nick Sirianni guy.
Yeah.
It was a huge win on Sunday, and I don't think anyone saw a blowout coming aside from Tommy from down the shore.
Yeah, I did guarantee a win.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Brandon Graham spoke about this. This is from this morning with the WIP Morning Show. Spoke about the team rallying around Nick. Do you think this is something they can carry with them? I guess my biggest point, I agree with him, and I think they did. I thought they responded really well. I think the question is you have the juice off of last week, mm-hmm. and they're not getting that juice this week. Do you think that's something they can carry forward?
I do. I don't know if the us against them thing is a positive, like, good thing to carry all season. I think eventually they need to find other ways to motivate themselves. But I do think one thing with this team that we probably have not given them enough credit for, and I think Nick deserves a lot of credit for this, as do other leaders on the team, but they are a far more resilient group than I think we viewed them as, right? So to be 4-2 after these first six games, I think is a good outcome. Like, this team is not 3-3. They're not 2-4. They missed the best player on the team for half of these games. They missed arguably the three best players on the team for one of the games. They had to travel like 5,000 miles to Brazil. The Saints don't look good now, but that was a tough game at the time. It definitely was. And last year, when this team got punched in the mouth by, not Buffalo, by San Francisco and Dallas, they had no counterpunch. They just folded, right? And they didn't suffer that type of punch. But the Tampa Bay one, I mean, there was an embarrassing moment for this team.
Oh, yeah.
And so to come out and not dominate the Browns by any stretch, but to come out and win the next two, I do think there's a resiliency there that I think Nick deserves some credit for. If we're going to say he's the culture builder.
And he is.
The culture seems really good down there. Right now, at least. I mean, obviously, things can change.
Winning helps those things, but I've been saying this. There is something to finding a common sort of factor that you want to use as a motivating thing and saying, okay, this is what they feel, then let's go prove them wrong. I agree.
not something you, want to carry around all year long, because it's just that you...
It's not healthy.
Yeah, it's not healthy. And quite frankly, be mad at yourselves for not playing well. Don't be mad at people for not making excuses for you not playing well. Be mad at yourselves. If you want to change the narrative, then change the results on the field, and do that by doing it on the field, not by bickering with media and back and forth on Twitter and all that stuff. And that's where he, for me, had crossed the line, and I'm glad he pulled it back. Because he was not being a good example setter for them. And the fact that he addressed it with the team and apologized, and I'm sure the higher-ups addressed it with him, and they needed to let him know, no, this is not acceptable. This is not acceptable. You doing this stuff will lead to our players behaving this way in some form or fashion, and how are you going to tell them not to do it when you're doing it? So to pull it back and at least get back to focusing on football and trying to change the results on the field. Listen, you can ride this little us against them wave for a few weeks or what have you, but you know what happens? Good habits start to set in. Good practice habits start to set in. Good studying habits start to set in. And you start to translate that from in the classroom, on the practice field, to on game day, and you're getting results. And now you're not focusing on that. We're not focusing on that. We're not asking every player, do you like your coach? All right, we're not doing all that stuff. That stuff that they got irritated by earlier. Once they change those things, then we'll change, and then they can get back to playing football. And so to me, after that Tampa game, after the Tampa week, and then after the Cleveland game, was a pivotal part for Nick Sirianni and this team. And he seemed to regroup, pull everything together, and he's galvanized the locker room for right now, including, and most importantly, the quarterback.
Yeah. Well, and so I also think that I agree with all that from a culture perspective. But I think, too, we should give the coaching staff some credit. And it starts with Jalen. Jalen's been smarter with the football the last 2 weeks. He looks like training camp Jalen, being smart with the football. Mm-hmm. But we should also point out that in Nick's time as head coach, when they've had problems, for the most part, he's fixed them. Like, when the first year he was here, they couldn't run that pick play without getting flagged. Remember, they had like four touchdowns. Then now they run it really well. The second year, there was penalties early on. Remember? Like, the turnover thing, Jalen deserves the top billing for it. But the coaching staff also deserves credit from taking a quarterback that was leading the league in turnover-worthy plays to not having a single one the last 2 weeks. Like, there is coaching involved in that. There's scheme involved in that. There's play calls involved in that. And I think they deserve credit for what looks like fixing a problem that we all agree was a big one.
Hold on. Let me just go cut straight to the chase on that. You know what's involved in that? Accountability. Forget about that coaching and scheme. And Jalen's not stupid. He's gone through a season where he did not turn the ball over, where he wasn't careless with the ball. He was doing reckless things with the football. And when you're a coach, you're either coaching it or you're allowing it. So if you don't address him about that stuff, you make excuses for it, then it's never going to change. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to give them credit, whoever it was, whether it was Nick, whether it was Doug Neusmeyer, whether it was Kellen Moore, I don't care who it was. They got to him and said, bruh, this ain't going to work. Mm-hmm. You being reckless with the football is not going to work if we want to win football games. This has to stop. Be smarter, take care of the ball, and we'll win games. And the two hands on the ball, all that stuff, Jalen has been through all this stuff. It's when you get careless with the ball, and you get careless with the football when you feel there are no repercussions for your actions. We saw this with Carson. Like, that's what happens when they give you the big check, they give you the money, and everybody's kissing your butt and telling you you're the man and don't tell you when you're wrong. All you do is enable players to continue to practice bad habits and do things the wrong way. But when you challenge him and you correct him, and he has to be held accountable by his teammates, his peers, and his coaches, it's going to be important enough for him to change those things. So that's why I give him credit for, is that it was important enough for him that he needed to change that. He needed to change that.
I agree. And the other thing that they've done is say, look, maybe you shouldn't be throwing the ball 30 times
that's
a game.
That's the other part. Now, that's where the coaching comes in for me.
Yeah, and now look, them, and we'll talk about this in a second, how long they can keep that up.
Right.
You know, 13 attempts a game or 14 that, is not.
Yeah.
That's not realistic.
Especially not this week.
Yeah. So we'll actually talk about the offense right after Ike tells you about where to get a car.
Let me get you an Acura.
Speaking of cars.
What type of car were you talking about when you were trying to compare Joel Embiid?
Yeah. talking about Acura.
MDX. Yeah. Okay. There we go. All right. Did you know there's never been a better time to save on a brand new Acura than right this second at Elite Acura during the Elite Fall for All event? Now, they're rolling into fall with these unbelievable savings on their selection of over 175 new Acuras. You can lease a new 2024 Acura ZDX with the A-Spec package for just $319 a month. But that's not all. They're taking it to the next level with a $4,000 Acura loyalty appreciation offer on top. You also can lease a new 2024 Acura RDX with super handling all-wheel drive for $429 a month. I'm telling you, you don't want to miss these offers and more during the Elite Fall for All event going on right now at Elite Acura. Make sure you head over to Route 73 North in Maple Shade. Tell them Mike sent you, or shop their entire inventory online anytime at EliteAcura.com. Call them 567-908-0528 for offer details.
I'm going to this call here because we only have Elliot until 4, and okay. Rick in Easton says he wants to make a bet with
Elliot. I wonder what this is about.
So I need to know what this bet is.
Oh, I can't believe I actually got on and my name's not Chuck from Mount Airy. Okay.
All right.
Kiss my ass.
Speaking of boxing, yeah.
We talked before.
Yeah, I remember it, Rick.
I will make a wager right now, my friend, and I will take you and your wife's significant other out to dinner for 12 months if the Eagles go to Cincinnati and beat Cincinnati. You on?
I don't think they're going to win the game. So we can still get dinner if you want, but
and they can't win the game.
No, I think it's an acceptable loss. Like, I think it's okay to go there and lose. As long as they compete, I think that's a good week for them.
Acceptable loss?
Yeah. Yeah.
Rick, doesn't look like you're going to get your bet. Also, he would have to go to dinner with you for a year?
Every month.
Yeah.
For 12 months of dinner. That's
There's Rick again.
Maybe it's, yeah.
Hey, honey, we got to go to dinner with Rick.
Dinner with you, Rick. No offense. I got a good feeling about this game this week.
Really?
Wow, picking against your team.
Well, my team is here. I got you. My AFC team.
Yeah. Your AFC team. Yeah.
What'd you say, Rick?
Ike and I have talked before because Ike sat in our club section seat for a quarter. And I'm the wrestling official that has a lot of admiration for Ohio.
That's
wrestling
right.
And Ohio sports. But all kidding aside, I do think the Eagles can win with their schedule. 10 or 11 games. I think they split with Washington. I think they beat the Giants again. They split with the Cowboys. And they have a schedule where they can win 10 or 11 games. They're just not beating Cincinnati Sunday.
Okay. Yeah. All right. It's a tough spot.
It's certainly a...
Is it really?
Well, the Bengals are at home and have put themselves
in
a...
And they really need the game.
Yeah. The Eagles don't need it.
Like, they don't need it.
What do you mean the Eagles don't need it? Eagles do need it.
I don't think so.
Well, I do. I do think they need it. Doesn't mean they're going to win just because they need it. And I'm not saying the game's going to be easy. But I'm also not looking at this game, and we'll get into it as we go through the week. This isn't a no-doubt loss for the Eagles. The Bengals... the offense has flashy names. They have flashy names. But the two teams we just played, they also held the Bengals to 2 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Both teams, the Giants and the Browns.
Bengals defense isn't good either.
And the Bengals defense isn't that good.
Mm-hmm.
So all I'm saying is that we can go on the road, take care of the football, and if the defense just keeps getting a little better each week, I don't expect us to hold the Bengals without a touchdown, but – and we can keep this game in the low 20s. I think the Eagles got a chance to score 24 in Cincinnati, 24-27 points.
That's what I was going to say. If you can hold them, the goal is to hold them to less than 24.
Yeah.
I think that
would be less than 24, I think we got a good chance.
I think they could win the game, to be clear.
Yeah.
I'm probably not going to pick them. I just don't think this is
a game. You're
not expecting
to win.
If they lose, I'm not going to go, oh, my God, these last 2 weeks mean nothing. They're back to they used to be. Like, you can go to Cincinnati.
Unless they get clobbered.
And if they get clobbered, that wouldn't be good. I agree. But if they go there and they're competitive and they lose, like, I don't know, 30-27, Jalen takes care of the ball. Like, it's not the end of the world. They have the Jaguars next week. They have an easy schedule.
I got a little Washington. We play November 14th. We know that's going to be a big game.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Big NFC East showdown. And we can get through that Thursday night game at 7-3.
It puts them in a good spot.
Puts us in a good
especially
spot.
Especially with
so
all the home games.
So we can go 3-1 over these next 4 games. Dallas is on the brink. Mike called this early. I thought he was crazy. He called it early. He didn't say they weren't going to make the playoffs or they weren't going to win the Super Bowl. He said implosion. He said bad season. That's where they're headed. They are headed there. Their next few weeks are going to be tough. By the time we go to Dallas to play, they may have already thrown the towel in on their season.
Yeah, going to Dallas is still tough for me.
All I'm saying is that it won't be as difficult if they don't have anything to play for and they're pointing fingers at each other.
It's possible if they keep going the way that it looks like they're going, it seems like they could be.
I do think, too, that this past week was the first time I felt there was special potential. You're right. Like, they probably won't win 12 games, but 3 weeks ago, I mean, I thought they were average. Like, best case average.
Special.
Not just.
I ain't going special
yet.
Well,
I just think the.
Easy killer.
Hold on. The vibes are changing around the team.
I agree.
Like, they won by 25. You see, you know, pictures of Jalen smiled everyone in the locker room. Everyone's rallying around Nick. Nick's talking in the locker room about getting his mojo back. We do the players' lounge with players. They seem to really be in on what. Now, you have to go out and prove it.
They have to win.
But it's been a long, I mean, they haven't even won back-to-back games in a year. So, like, they are actually finally, it feels like, starting to get out of this rut they're in.
So, I want to get to the offense thing because we only have 5 minutes left with you. So, Nick Sirianni was on with the WIP Morning Show today, and John Ritchie had this conversation with him. So, I
little
think,
too much emotion out of Nick. You should probably pull that in.
Well, doing good over the last week, man. He's been keeping his emotions in check.
Well, by the way, I thought that whole thing happening to Nick was good for Nick too.
I agree.
It set a here's the line, man.
Yep.
You know, we want you to be excited, and he said it's a learning process for him. And the one thing I will give him credit for is he does seem possibly capable of introspection, which the New York coach who we were fighting about yesterday does not seem capable of.
Right.
Which is a good human quality to have.
You and want
a
my
good
table coach take? Or no, I'm kidding.
Neither one of us. No.
So I keep thinking about this with the Eagles, in that we played a running team. In the Saints, and the Saints were running all over everybody, scoring a bunch of points. And we said, all right, well, we're going to put six guys on the line of scrimmage, and we're not going to let you run, and we're going to dare your quarterback to beat us. And he couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
And so saying you're a running team is cool, and it's a way to structure, you know, way to think about it and have an identity, which I think is important. Mm-hmm. But the big question is going to be, now that you've said it and you've done it, when other teams can just decide that Saquon's not going to run, it's what Cleveland did to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm.
It's this Jalen's going to have to take a step into making plays, and I don't want to talk about the Super Bowl yet, but you're not getting through the playoffs with. You're just running the ball the 50 times a game.
I mean, they found that out in 2021.
Yeah, it's very difficult. It's very difficult to do. So we're gonna have to see. And he's gonna. And we said yesterday, look, this is a good reset point for Jalen, but this can't be the be all end all of what they expect to do
so
with Jalen.
I think if Jalen plays the exact same game he has the last 2 weeks, they will be a playoff team and probably have a home playoff game. But they will not go to the Super Bowl with the way Jalen is playing currently. But the thing I would say is, I would encourage Jalen, if I was a coaching staff, to keep playing this way for now. I don't think you want to sit in these meetings and go, you know what? We can't win in January like this, so we got to switch it up.
Mm-hmm.
I do think Jalen has developed some good habits the last few weeks, taking care of the ball. And I'll ride with that for a month and have him be that guy. And then come December, you just got to hope when you're playing these great teams, he makes big plays. Like, that's really it. I don't think they can change the philosophy of the team because that's how you win in the playoffs.
Well, but I don't even think that's the thing. I think the other teams are going to make that decision for you.
Sure.
The other teams are going to come in with a game plan.
Eventually, and I agree. I actually agree with both of you. I would stick with it until the team forces me to change it up. And when they do, and they will... Jalen has to make throws.
Yeah.
He still has to be smart with the football, and he has to take advantage of it. So if Cleveland's going to do what they did, I'm okay with Jalen throwing for two touchdowns and 264 yards and no interceptions.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what he did against Cleveland when they took away Saquon. So he was able to throw the ball on the outside and make some plays. That's what he has to do. He has to be patient. More importantly, the coaches have to be patient because part of this is them. You know, Kellen Moore or something, these guys, they get bored with just running the ball. They want to throw it. They got all these weapons, so they want to throw it. So sometimes you got to be patient and not force things. It'll come. The passing game will open up for them. But I think if you come out like they did Sunday, I give them credit for changing midstream. They came out wanting to throw the ball. We got sacked like four times within the first three series.
Yeah, Fred Johnson's a problem.
Yeah, and so then they decided, let's go to the run game and stick with the run game. It's okay to run the football. That's why you gave this dude $30 million.
Well, and Fred Johnson got...
Let him run the ball.
Yeah. Fred Johnson got beat. It was on Jalen a little bit, too, holding,
yeah.
holding
oh,
the ball
hell
the
yeah.
way
hold,
he did.
Oh, my
yeah.
goodness.
I think the real thing is going to be him finding the balance mm-hmm. between protecting but also being aggressive.
Yep.
Because I think he's less aggressive now because he's concentrating on
not turning
the ball over. Quarterbacks are going to throw interceptions. Yep. It's okay to throw one, but the decisions he was making previously were dangerous, bad decisions.
I agree with you. One interesting stat, though. Over the last 2 weeks, there's only three quarterbacks in the NFL that have no turnover-worthy plays and two-plus big-time throws, which is how Pro Football grades like a special throw, and he's one of them. So I do think while he has to do more of it, he has done a decent job. I mean, he's had big throws and big, you know, to AJ and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I don't think he's being ultra conservative, but I ultimately agree with you. You're not going to outduel the Lions in Detroit like this.
No.
Like, you're not going to win the
Minnesota,
game.
Minnesota, you're not beating teams like that. Green Bay, you beat them early, and look what you had to do against them. Right. Win that game against Green Bay.
Green Bay's starting to look a little terrifying.
They're much better now than they were.
Yeah, the
first
only
game.
Way you win as a running team is if you have an outstanding defense and a quarterback that won't turn it over. And I don't think they have either of those two things.
No, they don't have. Their defense certainly looks better than we thought they were going to look.
Yeah.
But not that level of defense. All right. Thank you, Elliot.
Fun times.
Great appearance as always. Are you willing to fight listeners in your boxing class?
I might have to get Chuck from Mount Airy to coach me, too.
Oh.
I feel like he would, you know.
Coach you.
Yes. Yeah, no, not fight
me. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
He'd be a good guy in your corner.
He would.
But he'd also
be in my corner. I know, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I've seen him, yeah.
I could imagine Chuck going, throw in the damn towel!
Yeah, I can also imagine that. I don't think Chuck would love my boxing style either. I don't think he would leave impressed from me in the ring, yeah.
All right, so Jordan Mailata will join us next, and we could find out how Jordan is doing, how that hamstring's doing. Also, if he noticed anything watching the game on TV rather than actually being in the game, I think it would probably give you a little bit of a different perspective. So we'll get Jordan's take on the offense and see how he's doing physically next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.